Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for having fellowship in this church that was bought and paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can call each other brothers and sisters. I pray, Lord, as we go into your word this morning, that you might open up our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we started Matthew chapter 7 regarding judging, and we made it through the first verse, "Judge not that you be not judged." And as I mentioned last week, it is one of the most misused and also misunderstood verses in the New Testament. A lot of people use that as their excuse for sin. Well, you can't judge me. And that's not what Christ is teaching us here. We saw through numerous verses last week where we are to be a discerning people. Philippians 1:9, Paul wrote, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment." So we're to be a discerning people as we evaluate people that we decide to keep company with. But we shouldn't be hypocritical or unfair or legalistic. We shouldn't judge in that sense. Christ tells us that if we do that, that we will be incorrectly judged. A lot of people take this verse, "Judge not that you be not judged," that go light on your fellow man, and therefore your fellow man will go light on you. That's not what Christ is teaching. What he's telling us is that if we judge on this earth hypocritically, legalistically, that we will face an eternal judgment. Last week we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 9. As Paul wrote the church of Corinth, he said, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it is revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." In other words, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ as believers, and we will be judged not for our sins, but we will be judged on the Christian life that we have lived here on this earth. As I've said before, heaven is not pass-fail. There are degrees in heaven. There's rewards in heaven. Just as there are degrees of hell and extra punishment in hell, we will all stand before God. So as Christ says, "Judge not that you be not judged," it's not my fellow man that I have to worry about. It's having to stand before a holy and righteous God and give an account to Him and perhaps suffer loss. Because that's what it says in Corinthians, that some will escape, they'll be burned, but they will not suffer loss. In other words, they'll be in heaven, but there will be no reward. Well, Christ continues to discourage us from judging incorrectly by the following verses. So let's go to Matthew 7, beginning in verse 3, and it reads, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Well, let's first begin by identifying the people that Christ is describing. They're believers. They're not lost because he says, brother. These are two Christians interacting with one another because the person that is doing the judging is brother. Let's again take just a quick moment and draw a line between discernment and judging. When the church appoints bishops and elders, pastors and elders, you have to be discerning. There is a biblical qualification. Look in Titus 1, chapter 5. It says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayer. Well, in order for the church to do that, you've got to be discerning. You've got to evaluate. So that's not the judging that Christ is speaking of. It's okay for a church to qualify those who are in leadership. That's discernment. Nothing wrong with that. So what is the difference between being discerning and judging? I would say, first and foremost, it's motive. Take a look back at our focal passage in Matthew 7:3. It says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? The King James Version says, behold. Why do you behold the speck? Why do you behold the speck? Now, let me ask you a question this morning. If I had a speck in my eye right now, could you see it? You couldn't, could you? See, there's a motivation by the person that is judging. For them to see a speck in your eye, they are having to examine you extremely close. Right? They're probably be in my comfort zone. They're getting really close to look at that speck. Well, what's the motivation? There is a commonality between judging and gossiping. There's a commonality between the two. And I think that you're going to see this as we look at this verse. The commonality between judging and gossiping is that you are making yourself feel better about yourself at someone else's expense. If I go out and I judge you in the flesh, what I'm saying is, as I judge you legalistically, hypocritically, is I'm saying I feel so much better about myself because I'm not doing that. That's what judging's all about in an inappropriate sense, is for us to use other people as our benchmark as we evaluate how we live our life. Which takes us to Luke chapter 18. Turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 9. Jesus is speaking a parable to people who think that they are righteous. And in fact, I love how Luke describes it, that they trusted in themselves. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So he says in Luke 18, verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood, he prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, idolaters, or even as this tax collector. So what did he just do? He has a tax collector standing by him and he says, God, thank you that I'm not like this guy. He is judging to make himself feel good. In fact, at the beginning of Luke 9, it says that they trusted in themselves for their own righteousness. He was judging the tax collector to build himself up. And then he says, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Christ tells us in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. His righteousness was at the comparison of others. That was his motive. When we judge, when we gossip, our motive is to make ourselves appear righteous. So, back to our focal passage, the examining of the speck. You got to be looking for it, don't you? And that's what's happening as Christ is teaching us, is that this person who's judging incorrectly is on a mission. The person had the wrong motive. He also had the wrong focus. The person had the speck. He had a plank. He had a problem. A plank's a lot bigger than a speck. And as his focus wasn't correct, he also missed a primary teaching of the Bible. And that is that we are supposed to be examining ourselves more than we are examining other people. We should examine our own life. Numerous scriptures talk about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Paul writes, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust you will know that we are not disqualified. We should examine ourselves. We should examine our own life. Are we part of the family of God? Do we exhibit the fruits that God talks about that we would bear if we are part of His family? We just finished this morning observing the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians 11:27 says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. As we come to the Lord's table, we are supposed to examine our life. We're supposed to deal with our sin. We're supposed to reflect on our life and remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. We are to live a life of self-examination. It also says in regards to the Lord's table that if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. In other words, if you examine yourself, if you police yourself, you will escape the chastening of the Lord. The Christian life is all about self-examination. But you know, the wonderful thing is when we trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, when we have faith in our salvation, when we have a correct relationship with the Lord, we can then say, as the psalmist said in Psalm 139:23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting life." That's someone whose hope, whose confidence is in God. That's what we should be about. We should be able to go to the Lord and pray, knowing that we have a loving Heavenly Father who cares for us, who wants the best for us, who molds us and makes us according to His will. And we should be able to say, "Search me, review me, see if there's any wickedness in me. Lead me in the way of the everlasting." You can pray that today, my friends, with confidence, knowing that the Lord loves you. Our righteousness does not depend upon ourselves, but from the power of God. And in fact, if you will turn to Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." In other words, every single thing that we have right now has come from God. Every single thing. It's His. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Well, let me ask you something. Did He do that because you were smart, or that you were logical, or that you were searching? No. Look at verse 4. "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, He gave us life and loved us while we were still sinners." That's what the Bible says. And then it says that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. If you look down at verse 11, it says that we've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Discerning, yes. Absolute. But we have to be so careful that we check our motives. We're going to talk about this in the next couple of Sundays and also as we get to some future chapters. What is my motivation as I deal with a brother or sister in Christ who is walking away from the path of God? Do I have the right motivation? Because, see, we could approach that absolutely incorrectly. We could gossip about it. It'd make us feel better, but it doesn't solve the situation. Kind of reminds me of the old phrase, "It's not gossip if I'm what? I'm telling the truth." That's not true. If we gossip among our brothers and sisters about another brother or sister in Christ, it's a sin. If we judge from a legalistic manner, if our motive isn't right, if we're judging to make ourselves here more righteous, it's a sin. See, a good rule of thumb is if I go to someone one-on-one, I'm not going to fall in that trap. The worst thing that I could do is go to someone else. I'm going to the wrong person, right? If I have to deal with somebody on an individual basis, I need to go to the person that has the problem, not someone else. We've been given this wonderful gift of salvation. And in that, we have the indwelling of the Spirit to where we can understand the Scriptures. And what Christ is telling us here is be careful. Be careful. He's giving you all the warnings that you would have to stand at Judgment Day and give an account of why you acted inappropriately according to the Gospel. Will you please stand with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever given your life to Jesus Christ? Are you living on your own? I'm not talking about a religious exercise. I'm talking about asking yourself, just as we read in the verse, examining yourself of whether or not you are in the faith. Are you a disciple of Christ? Can you honestly say that you're a disciple of Christ? Or are you living a lie? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's ready. You have to repent. In other words, you have to turn from your sin. You have to give your life up. You have to give it to God. And you ask Jesus Christ in your heart and you ask Him for forgiveness. You believe that He died on the cross and that He rose from the grave for you, and you ask Him to be your Savior and Lord. If you've never done that, I would invite you to become a Christian today. Become a Christ follower today. He'll forgive you of every single thing that you've ever done. You'll walk in His way and you'll have a peace that surpasses all understanding. But it's only if you give your life up and you give it to God. Or maybe you're here this morning and maybe you've been living a judgmental life. Maybe you've been making yourself feel good at the expense of others. Ask Christ to forgive you. Turn from your sin. He'll restore you. Our Father, we just thank You this morning that You give us mercy and grace. I pray, Lord, that we might walk according to Your teachings, that we might be a loving people, a caring people, that we might be ambassadors for You, and that we might spread Your news to a world that does not know You. I pray if anyone needs to make a decision today, Lord, they'd do so. In Jesus' name, amen. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, is God calling you this morning? If He is, don't delay.